Our lesson this morning is going to be on the mystery of a silent heaven. Believe it or not, there has not been one public manifestation of God's power and might in the last 2,000 years. We read in the book of Psalms, there in chapter 50, verse 3, he says, "Our God shall come one day and not keep quiet." So there's an indication that what I just talked about is true. The silence of God. The mystery of a silent heaven. Now, to get an understanding of this, it's important that you understand the difference between the blessings that are spoken of in Scripture. There's a couple, just two as a matter of fact, and they fall under two different categories. The first one is a blessing that is carnal in nature and is found best described in the blessing of Abraham. It has to do with temporal things. Earthly things, physical things that you can get your hand around. That's the blessing of Abraham. It's carnal in nature. The second is found in Ephesians and is described by Paul as spiritual blessings. These are eternal and have nothing to do so much with the earthly blessings as we found with the blessing as we'll find with the blessing of Abraham. So the first one that I want to address is the blessing of Abraham. And to get a good understanding of it, it is necessary to comprehend the Hebrew word barakah. It's spelled B-E-R-A-K-A-H. Translated blessing. It's pronounced barakah, but spelled B-E-R-A-K-A-H, is Hebrew word number 1293. The word has various connotations, but they all point to things that are carnal, therefore not spiritual blessings, but temporal, worldly, earthly, natural. It implies prosperity and favor. The word, it means more or less a gift or a benefit, a present given, if you will. In the Hebrew and Chaldee dictionary, we find the word shalom, which you all probably have heard. Embedded with this word barakah and the blessing that is connected to it, we find in the dictionary embedded there with that meaning this word shalom, which is Hebrew word 7965, and it means health, peace and safety, security, being unharmed, successful in business, monetary things, absence of strife, comfort, completeness. And today, if you know any Jewish folks, they always depart by saying shalom. Even got me saying it to them on trade shows, shalom. The word is in complete contrast to the other blessing that's spoken of in Scripture, which is described as spiritual blessings. For example, give you a good idea of what this blessing of Abraham is, to look back at Abraham, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's no question about this that we're about to read as being a blessing to that of Abraham. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto my voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that I, the Lord thy God, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all those blessings shall come on thee, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shall be thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field, blessed shall thou be in fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thee fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open thee unto his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do to them. I always like to ask the question, how would you like to go into business under that kind of opportunity? That kind of blessing that the Lord promised here to Abraham, to the nation of Israel. This is unique to the nation, to Abraham. And it runs its course through the Old Testament and clear up through the Acts period of time. Because the kingdom was being reoffered all through after the crucifixion of Christ. The kingdom was being reoffered again through the Acts period until the end. Abraham was one fat cat as a result of it. He was a big thing, wealthy. Now, Barak and the Gentiles. Paul speaks of the blessing of Abraham coming on the Gentiles before the great divide of the end of the Acts period. We see that in Galatians, the third chapter of Galatians, where he says, Christ hath redeemed us that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there we see this blessing running clear through the early ministry of Peter, the early ministry of Paul, the ministry of Christ. This blessing was there available for those had they have followed through with what God had asked them to do as a nation. The blessing is spoken of 95 to 100 times in Scripture. Anybody care to venture a guess as to how many times Paul referred to it in his epistles? 3. one in Romans, one in Corinthians, and one in Galatians that I just read about, that Christ hath redeemed us to the best, blessing of Abraham. Those are the only occurrences of this in Paul's epistles. However, once you pass the Acts period chronologically, this blessing is not ever referred to again. And the strange thing is, neither is Abraham. This blessing is never mentioned again in Paul's later epistles. No blessing of Abraham is associated in heavenly places. It is not found in any reference to before the foundation of the world, nor in the prison epistles. You have to understand that there are some terms in Scripture which by their very nature and the place they do or do not occupy shed light on the scheme of God's purpose and plan. And the blessing of Abraham is one of them. I've said before, there's places in Scripture where there's nothing and God is. He didn't put it there for a purpose. Now, the other blessing that's mentioned in Scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 1. You want to look at that? We've certainly seen it many times before. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These blessings that Paul is speaking about there are peculiar in that they are all spiritual, unlike these blessings of Abraham, which we read back in the New Old Testament, are all carnal. These are spiritual blessings. Here the scene changes dramatically. The word for blessing here is eulogia. It's spelled E-U-L-O-G-I-A. It's Greek word 2129. The word for blessing in this is eulogia. It comes from the root word eu, E-U, meaning well, and also the word lego, meaning to speak. It literally means to speak well of, adoration, praise, well done, attaboy. Translated at one point as fair speech. Our English word, eulogy, comes from this, the word eulogy. It is a whole subject in itself, but is not merely all spiritual blessings. If you have spiritual blessings and there's 50 of them, you might not only have one or two. That's not the case. Every blessing that is spiritual to those that are a part of the body of Christ, the church of the one body of Christ, have all spiritual blessings, whatever they are. It is described as something that is our inheritance, this blessing. What is it, or what are they? It's in heavenly places where Christ sits. It is spoken by the Lord. To who would he be speaking it? I think principalities and powers. You are becoming, I think, as a result of this blessing that comes upon us, an example to those that were insurrect and angels and so forth that were interacting God's purpose and plan. Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, he writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual." The old law was spiritual. "But it was carnal at the time." But now he's speaking about these spiritual things. He contrasts spiritual things with natural there in 1 Corinthians. There is a natural and there is a spiritual body that he talks about. You have to learn to distinguish the truth, the difference between these. Whatever it is by the words of God, and it is a contrast rather than a comparison to the blessing of Abraham. Abraham's blessing is bestowed earthly. The blessing that Paul is speaking about here is spoken of in the heavenly places and for the church of the one body. It is completely opposite from the believer under the law as those that are in the body of Christ today. We in this post-Acts period do not have the blessing of Abraham. It's not there. We, like Paul, as Christians, may know what it is to suffer. We have no guarantee of a settled type of dwelling, like this young man we found out here on the steps a while ago. We have no protection during time of danger. War may take us over. We may be poor, while the ungodly might be rich. Our spiritual worth cannot be measured by the size of our 401k. Our bank account may be overdrawn. I'm sure Abraham's bank account was never overdrawn. The bling on our finger indicates nothing about God's blessing. Ephesians 1:3 does not speak of daily bread, dwelling places, home, comfort, and business success. It, unlike Deuteronomy 28, is on a new plane, the spiritual, which is on resurrection ground. A member of the one body may be rich or poor, sick or well, troubled or tranquil, in peace or war, blind, crippled, and deaf. But such conditions have no reference today to every blessing that is spiritual. Nor are they found, by the way, in the blessing of Abraham. So, what is the point? The point is, I think, separation. You must separate in your mind the two before you can fully enjoy and appreciate the magnificent gifts of spiritual blessings. If you don't, you're bound and you're tied trying to work those blessings of Abraham, thinking that that can be possible, and it doesn't work. Always wondering, where's the love of God in this crooked and perverse world? Why are my prayers not answered according to what God has promised here in the blessing of Abraham? The silence of heaven in a crooked and perverse world when we need these things. And then somebody says, well, you know, isn't a God that's always silent for non-practical purposes non-existent? So you have to distinguish, you have to separate these two. And a good illustration is found with Abraham himself. Abraham and his father Terah left the Ur of the Chaldees. By the way, that was they did logarithms in Ur. That's how advanced they were. The Lord told Abraham, get going. Abraham says, well, I'll show you. So I don't know. He decided to take off. Where he went, east or west? I don't know. Terah, the father of Abraham, had died once he was on, once he left Ur. And the Lord told Abraham to depart Haran, to leave kindred and country to Canaan, to a land that the Lord would show him by faith if he left. However, against the Lord's will, he took Lot with him on this journey that he was to go on. The Lord said, don't take Lot. And they settled in Sichem, plain of the Morah, among the Canaanites. They built an altar there, and the Lord gave the land to Abraham. He didn't show it to him. He said, this is to be your land. He didn't know what exactly land it was. Famine and drought set in. So they go down to Egypt, but eventually they return to the land that cannot support both Lot and Abraham because of the drought situations. The herdsmen are battling back and forth against one another from Lot and Abraham as to who has this land and who has that land. This is my land, no, that's your land, and so forth. The land cannot support both. So Abraham gives up half. He separates and says, okay, You take half. This is your land. And then Lot takes the plain of Jordan and Sodom. And after Lot separates, the Lord said to Abraham, lift up now thine eyes, and I will show you a land that I will give you forever. Arise and walk through it. Only upon complete separation, as commanded, did the promise and the blessing come. It was not only faith, but separation in believing what God said, that he ultimately came to the real blessing that the Lord had promised him. Now, I think there's a lesson in this for all of us. Until there is a separation from the carnal blessings of the past, there can be no real appreciation for the peace that comes from the spiritual blessings of the present. We cannot lift our eyes, neither can we walk into the equivalent of Abraham's separation from Lot or the promised land, which is what? I think your Bibles are open to Ephesians. Turn to the 17th chapter of that first verse. Verse 17, chapter 1 of Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Unless we move on totally from Acts 13 and the blessings that went along with that part of God's purpose and plan, and see what God has offered us in these spiritual blessings in the mystery, you really do not grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. I find no evidence that God is blessing us with carnal blessings. No evidence that he is sitting there on his throne directing bad things and good things in our lives with regard to temporal or carnal things. No evidence that he is removing mountains of frustration and bad circumstances in our way as he did Abraham. No evidence that he's providing a safe, serene, serpentine highway through life's tragic ordeal. Is he with us? Absolutely. Yes. But the spiritual blessings come by way of prayer, by way of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and the finished work of Christ, not by some miraculous change of events on our behalf by God. So, I offer a word of caution, and then I'll be finished. Unfortunately, I see today most Christians dragging their spiritual lot into their beliefs, into this dispensation. They have in tow the carnal blessings of Abraham of Acts 13, and they are a millstone around their neck. While you are pushing that, you cannot grow in the, as Paul's talking about here in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding are not being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You only are looking at half the picture. You've got to realize there's a heaven and an earthly purpose in God's plan. And those blessings of Abraham went with one, and the spiritual blessings go with others, with the other one. Consequently, not only is there then inability to separate themselves, they become a hindrance to others. You can become a stumbling block to other Christians who are only in the milk of the word by dragging your own blessings from the past into the dispensation of the mystery in the church of the one body. So, here's the point of this effort and lesson on my behalf. You must be accurate. We must be accurate. You must be careful. We must be careful. We must be diligent in our effort to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. With what? Well, the Word of God. But we must be accurate with our cliches, our metaphors, our prayers, our figures of speech, lest we confuse the student in the milk of the Word who is striving to understand the post-Acts revelation. We so often inadvertently, unconsciously, unintended, thoughtlessly confuse those that are not yet growing to the point to comprehend what we're speaking about here this morning. I'll give you a couple examples. One example, God healed me. Boom. You dare not say he cannot heal you, but he won't. He provided a way whereby you may be healed. Marvelous body that we have, marvelous positions and so forth. Yes, we may be healed. But it's not come as a result directly from the blessings as given to Abraham. A good example is that Paul lived through that time, and at one point he could not heal, and neither could anybody heal him. And he prayed three times, and three times the Lord said, Paul, My grace is sufficient for all your needs. Those blessings at that time were a part of the Abraham covenant and the earthly purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We're thankful for the blessings that we have been given, the spiritual blessings, the blessing that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit, the blessings as a result of studying, growing in the grace and the knowledge of you. We thank you. We thank you for the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, whom we pray this morning, for it's in his name. Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.